For many music listeners, the work that goes into releasing a new album may be an unknown process. But recently, one Atlanta band decided to open up and invite their audience to see how it was done. Part live show, part art project, they called it Live to Lathe. WABE's Mike Johns was there and has this story.
The music that you're hearing is Book Club. They're an Atlanta band. This is them playing at the end of February live at the Goat Farm Arts Center. And the show wasn't just a show, it was a record release party. And, okay, it wasn't just a record release party.
But thank you so much for coming. We recorded the song right there a few weeks ago. They're being cut right there. Everything's being made and assembled tonight. We're very, very excited.
It was a record-making party. A few weeks before, the band got together in this very room, the Rodriguez Room, at the Goat Farm, and recorded this one song, Boomerangs and Bedroom Eyes. I just don't know.
I'm not hiding. Very bare, you know.
This is Robbie Horlick. He's the frontman of Book Club.
Not one mic, but essentially a one mic style recording, and recorded and mixed live to tape.
Now, normally a band might take that recording and have it pressed as a 7-inch record with another song on the B-side and release that as a single. But they decided to do something a little more direct. That's where Thomas Barnwell comes in. Thomas was stationed at a table with a laptop and a record-cutting lathe. During the show, he cut copies of the single, one at a time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd really consider myself an audio engineer, actually.
Yeah.
No, as far as that, I've considered myself to be like more of like a maker with this stuff.
I visited Thomas at home a few days before the show to get a good look at the process.
Okay, so this ancient-looking beat-up, it looks like a giant turntable. I mean, it looks like it survived World War II. Mm-hmm. This is the lathe. Can you tell me about this thing?
Sure. This is a Presto K8. It's from, I believe, 1942, so it probably is World War II era. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's like a record player. You have a sound transducer with a needle on it, like a sharp needle.
Mm-hmm.
When you play the music, it comes through here and basically vibrates the needle.
To demonstrate, Barnwell pulls out a blank 7-inch square of plexiglass, rubs turtle wax on it, heats it to 100 degrees under a lamp, and then carefully drops the cutting needle and hits play on the laptop that he's connected to the machine. That music that you're hearing is just the sound of the cutting needle vibrating on the plexiglass. There are no speakers connected to the lathe.
Yeah, it's a purely analog process minus the computer, but I mean the sound source. But yeah, I mean this is very old school. It's just inverse of playing. It's shaking the needle and cutting right to the plexi.
Barnwell says it's a delicate process full of trial and error, and every third cutting or so, he has to recalibrate the lathe settings.
Check the sharpness of the needle, the weight of the head, the loudness, the EQ on the thing, the volume levels that you're recording on. There's just like so much that can just like randomly go wrong.
He shows me a small stack of singles he's already cut for the show just to make sure that he has enough time to finish the limited run of 30 by the end of the night. And it's not exactly hi-fi quality. The record winds up sounding more like an old 78 that Alan Lomax may have recorded back in the 1930s. Not hiding anything, I just can't see the whole show.
It's fair to accuse of withholding. You've no idea what you've no idea.
At the Goat Farm, the band plays as Barnwell lathes, but there's more to putting out a record than just the record itself. You need liner notes, and you need an album cover. The Live to Lathe event had that cover.
Oh, yeah, we're Straw Hat Press. I'm Sean McCallum. It's Laura Cleary.
So what is this that's being screen printed right here?
This is the information and some lyrics for the record release that they're doing tonight. It's gonna be a little off-center and kind of weird looking.
Better.
Off-center and kind of weird, that kind of describes this whole night.
Yeah. I wouldn't argue with that. So white ink on brown chipboard, and then Molly Rose over there is doing the album cover art that goes on the front. We're cutting them and sticking them together and giving people records after they cut them next door.
My name is Molly Rose Freeman. I am hand painting a piece which will be cut into 37 by 7-inch album covers. So it's not just painting, it becomes sort of like a performance also.
So just looking at this work, you've set up a black background. Can you kind of describe what you're painting?
Sure. This actually was inspired by sketches that I did during the recording of the single that's being released tonight. And I did some sketches while the band was playing their song, just an abstract expression of some of the rhythms and the harmonies.
As the night progressed, the white and blue lines of Molly's painting spiderwebbed across the 6 feet of cardstock she'd hung on the wall. We have a photo of the finished painting on our website, and you should go look at it, because very soon after it was finished and dried, it was cut up, as Freeman said, into 30 7-inch square pieces.
Is this nerve-wracking at all, cutting up your own work like this?
No, more the time constraint, because I'm slow. I don't mind chopping it up, though. It's the purpose of it.
And though the purpose, at first glance, is making the stuff to put a record together, Robbie Horlick of Book Club tells me the mission with Live to Lathe was to bring audiences into the process.
That's as integral to the whole thing as anything.
A limited edition, single-sided lathe cut record is of admittedly niche interest. The record itself is something for Book Club fans, or fans of Molly Rose Freeman's art, or for record collectors, which Robbie admits to being himself.
I love a limited release. I get excited when things are made in small batches, and if it's a small batch that is by hand, I mean, whether it's pickles, or it doesn't matter. You know, if you tell me that there's only one jar, I want it.
But the rarity is only part of the appeal. In a day when you can download a song to your smartphone while you're sitting in traffic, please don't do that, please watch the road, staging this elaborate Live to Lathe event is a way, frankly, to get audiences to slow down and take notice of this one song. It's as much a reaction as it is a move, not to mention the fact it shifts all blame from you. So as the crowd watched the band play, and maybe asked Thomas questions about the lathe, or watched Straw Hat screen printing and Molly Rose painting, apart from all of that stuff being, you know, neat, there was a sense that putting this record out wasn't just about the finished product. The real art was in the doing. For WABE, I'm Mike Johns.
Streets and